Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went out into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, let me just stop and say, if you'll ask the Lord, he'll tell you where to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and earth. When you got saved, folks, who came to live in you?
Jesus.
So you have how much power living in you?
All power.
Same power that created the universe, John 1:3, lives in you.
Amen.
Hello. And to the degree that you separate yourself from the world and live a holy life and claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you go out there and knock on doors. You have his power working through you by the Holy Spirit to draw those people to Christ and win them to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about this morning. All power. The Indians don't have all power. Hello, they have no power. And the Jehovah's Witness have no power. And the Mormons have no power. And the Buddhists have no power. Come on. Listen today. You need to claim the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach and observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So if you're a short person, you're lucky because Jesus is with you. Lo, amen. You're getting a little bit. Go ye therefore teach all nations. All nations. Jesus Christ gave a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All nations. That must mean that, dear friend, it's possible to get the job done. Would God give a commission that it could not be fulfilled? No. So if it's not being fulfilled, it's not God's problem. It's our problem. It's our fault. Amen? And so we need to at least sharpen our sword right here in your community that we can do the job here when this city to Christ, including Native Americans, which my great-grandmother was full-blood Cherokee Indian. And listen, God is not the white man's God. God is every man's God. I know that's what they say. But Jesus Christ was not a white man. Hell. He was not a white man. God is the God of all men. And go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we're to take this to everybody. Amen. Amen. Everybody ought to know. We sing that little chorus. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. That means that your neighbor ought to know. That means your children ought to know. Your husband, your wife, your father, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, all of them, they ought to know. The people on your street ought to know. Be pleasant to them. Be nice to them. But do all you can to get the gospel to them. And let me just say this. Every week, every day, you be praying the Holy Spirit go before you, soften hearts, and open doors. Pray that the Holy Spirit go before you, soften hearts, and open doors. And watch God do something in your life. Pray that God, number two, that he would give you divine appointments. That you will have somebody to talk to during the week, and they'll just come up. They'll just come across your path. So number one, you're going to pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will go before you, soften hearts and open doors. And that number two, that God will give you divine appointments. I prayed on the way up to Bay City, Michigan, that God would give me divine appointments, and I think I had four people saved there in 24 hours. We'll have folks saved here, and I know that because I'm praying that God will give me divine appointments. I mean, people that are just right there, ready to be saved, willing to listen to the gospel, not objecting to the gospel, not being difficult, and ready to receive Jesus Christ. I was teaching personal evangelism at Hiles Anderson College, and where it was my privilege to be for 17 years, and of course retired from there now. A young lady named Sean Fisher, a freshman, held her hand up and she said, "Brother Smith, we're having such a hard time in the foster club getting folks saved. We knocked doors all morning on Saturday and nobody would talk to us." She said, "By the way, I'm confused. I went to Hammond Baptist High School and I was taught how to win souls. I'm in the foster club and they're teaching me how to win souls a little different way. And I'm in your class and you're teaching me how to win souls a little different way." And I said, "Sean," I said, "just do what the foster club teaches you. That's the group you're with. And memorize what I'm teaching you and write it down for your test. And when you get to the street corner on Saturday, I want you to get down on your knees, nylons and all, on the street corner with your soul winning partner and ask God to go before you, soften hearts and open doors. And I want you to do that all week long. Ask God to go before you, soften hearts and open doors and prepare the way." She came back the next Monday morning, held her hand up like this, "Brother Smith, Brother Smith, Brother Smith." She was so excited. And she said, "Brother Smith, Brother Smith." And I said, "Yes, Sean." And she said, "We did what you said. We got down on the street corner before we started knocking on doors in our nylons and all and begged God to soften hearts and open doors." Now, the same street we were on last Saturday, nobody would talk to us. Door slammed in our face. We knocked on the first door. And they opened the door. We introduced ourselves. They said, "Come on in." And we led the whole family to Christ.
Amen.
She said, "Next door." They came to the door. We introduced ourselves. They invited us in. We led the whole family to Christ. And she said, "We went to the third door." And they came to the door. We introduced ourselves. We led the whole family to Christ. She said, "Brother Smith, that's all we had time for that Saturday morning."
Amen.
Now, the power of God. You have all power living in you. Amen. That power can go down any street you're going to go down. And you claim the power and ask God to fill you and empower you, but ask God to send the Holy Spirit to soften hearts and open doors for you, that you have folks saved and they'll receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Next, have a definite time to go soul with Him. You need to have a definite time. It's Thursday night or Saturday morning or whenever your church goes, that's when you need to go. Now, if you can't go because you work in those times, then you need to have a definite a time with a partner, somebody besides your wife or husband probably, because you'll cop out with a wife or husband. You won't cop out with a buddy or a friend. And so you both have a compact together. You're going soul winning for a couple hours at least every week at a certain assigned time. Then you might have an alternate time in case something does happen. But have a definite time to go soul winning. If you don't have a definite time to go soul winning, you won't go. The devil will put everything in your way. He'll put the need for doing the lawn in your way. He'll put the need for doing the laundry in your way. He'll put the need for going shopping for school clothes. Whatever it is, there's 1,000 things in one that he'll put in your way. Just like he puts it in your way from reading your Bible, puts it in your way for praying, and puts it in your way for going to church, and all the rest of it. We drug our kids to church, sick or not. We drug ourselves to church, sick or not. Amen? We don't know what it is not to go to church. And we don't know what it is not to serve God. And we just keep on going. We have 4 children. My wife missed one Sunday in giving birth to 4 children. First Sunday, those children were in church. They were dedicated to the Lord at the altar. And we thank God for that. Have a definite time to go. If you don't have a time, you won't go. Number 2, next, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 10th, whatever it is, obligate yourself to go by having that partner, as we mentioned. Listen, my wife exercises at a place called Curves. She exercises 3 times a week. Now, when our daughter, she goes with her daughter-in-law, Angela, our middle son's a wife, and goes picks her up at work. They go to exercise together, and she takes Angela home and comes back to the house. She leaves about 3:45 and gets home about 6 o'clock. It takes two and a quarter hours for her to exercise for an hour. But you know what? She goes because she has an obligation to go pick up a daughter-in-law who does not have a car. at work. I take her to the exercise place, exercise for an hour, I take her home, and then come back to the house and then fix my supper. Now, most women just cop out fixing supper because they're too tired after exercising for an hour. You know what? My wife comes home and fixes that supper, takes care of her husband. Every woman ought to take care of her husband. Amen? Number one project for a woman is not her kids. It's her husband. Number one project for a woman after God is her husband. Amen. My wife's job, full-time job, is taking care of me, and my full-time job is taking care of God's business. Amen. Preacher of the gospel. Now, she's obligated to go. She wouldn't go. If Angela can't go or we're out of town, she's traveling with me preaching or something. She's not preaching. I am. But if she's traveling with me, she doesn't go as much. There are curves all over the nation, and she'll go a time or two, but not three times a week. And you're not going to go soul winning unless you're obligated with a partner and you have a definite time to go and you get in that rut. I'm so glad that Otha Alexander, my teacher when I was a teenager in Sunday school, every Monday night, and world without end, he came pick me up. Now, I don't know if I went because I thought he loved me. I don't know if I went because he had a neat Packard convertible. I don't know if we went because he bought me a Borden's ice cream cone after soul winning. Cost him a nickel. I tell you how far back that goes, 1852. But anyway, we went every Monday night, 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 world without end. Now, if you teach 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, I take them soul winning. Got me in the groove. Got me in the groove. Got me in the groove. Every Monday night. Every Monday night. Every Monday night. By the way, I think I went because of the Borden's ice cream cone. I love ice cream. I've got a big cone around my waist here. Amen. Had a big malt in one of these places down the road here yesterday. Amen. I couldn't drink the whole thing. I said to the waitress, it's $4.95. I couldn't believe it. I said, these were quarter when I was a kid. And she just looked at me in amazement. And they really were. Cokes were a nickel. And that was 1760, by the way. Amen. Have a definite time to go. Obligate yourself with a partner. And encourage each other that way. You know, the partner is the prayer partner. You're the offense, perhaps. You're knocking on the door. It's your turn. And your partner is the defense. He's answering the phone. He's turning off the television. He's petting the dog. He's changing the diaper. He's turning the beans off so they won't burn. And on, whatever it takes. Somebody comes to the door. He answers the door. And people look because they don't expect him to be there. And he steps out. And he just says to them, we're in here giving the gospel. Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven, or would you have some doubt about it? And he can go soul winning on the front porch. Amen?
Amen.
If the phone rings, he answers, Jesus loves you. And it goes click because they think they have the wrong number. And then you unplug the phone so they won't call back because they'll call back right away. You know, he runs defense. He goes over and turns the television off. Turns the radio off. Takes care of the kids. Takes them outside to play. And allows the offense to do the work of leading someone to Christ. Now, if you're both soul winners, you take turns. One door, then the other. One door, then the other. One door, then the other. Always makes me mad when they get them and I don't. But anyway, you have a definite time to go. Have a partner. And have fun.
Amen.
You say, well, they slam doors in my face. Just say, praise God. Have a good day. Don't get upset at them. They slam the door in your face. They slam the door in the face of Christ.
That's right.
Unless you're that ugly. Anyway. This is 2006, and I think this month is August, if I'm not mistaken. And when you're an evangelist, you don't know where you are or what it is. I was in Bay City, Michigan, on Sunday, and I was looking for room 224. That was my hotel room in Kansas City several days before. And I was on the fourth floor at 408, and I'm walking down the fourth floor, and I was looking. There's no 224. There's no where's 224? I don't know where I am most of the time. And I said, Lord, I must not be at 224 anymore. What am I supposed to be in? He said 408. I said, oh, thank you very much. So I went down to 408, put the key in there, and I got in my room. I don't know where I am, what I'm doing, but we get the job done. Amen. Folks, you get saved. Folks get saved. Now, number next, look for people under conviction. Look for people under conviction. And you find folks ready to receive the gospel. If they don't want to talk to you, leave them alone.
Amen.
The field is white already under harvest, John 4:35. Now, if it's white under harvest, do you pick green tomatoes and eat them? Well, some folks, you know, pick them, slice them, and bread them, and fry them. But, you know, most folks don't eat green tomatoes, right? Unless you're from Kentucky. Amen. And you don't pick green fruit and eat it. And if they're not ready to talk to you, leave them alone. You go find somebody who's ready to be saved. If the field is white unto harvest, I'll go back. When I get back, and I'll go out and pick tomatoes. I won't pick the green ones. I'll pick the ripe ones. Hello? Maybe our peaches will be in big as softballs. And you bite into those things, and juice squirts in both ears and up your nose at the same time. Make your tongue clap your brain. I'll feel those dudes and see if they're ready before I pick them. Amen? Now, everybody needs the gospel, and if they will listen to you, you give them all they'll stand there and listen to. But if they don't want to listen to you, and they will not listen to you, you go on and find something else. Find one that's ready to be saved. Most of our problems is we're trying to get Jehovah's Witnesses saved, and most of the time, unless they're going to stand there and listen to you and let the Holy Spirit convict them by the Word of God, they're not going to get saved. They're just going to argue with you. You're trying to get Church of Christ saved. I don't know if you have those up here or not. All they're going to do is argue with you. If they'll listen to you, and you can explain, you can read the Word of God and give them plenty of the Word of God. Lots and lots and lots of it. It takes the Word of God to convict and convert. If they'll listen to you, you stand there and give it to them as long as they'll listen. An hour, 2 hours, 5 hours. Or make an appointment and go back also. But if they won't listen to you, you go. Don't argue with people. They don't get you anywhere.
Amen.
You know, all they are is scoffers. Read the book of Proverbs about that. Look for folks that are under conviction. And wherever you go, there are people ready to be saved. It doesn't make any difference. I was in Lancaster, Ohio, and went out soul winning. I was invited to preach and fill the pulpit for a couple of days. And we went out soul winning, and I had 8 folks saved in Lancaster, Ohio. I came back, and I told Pastor Phil Manning, I said, this is the whitest field I've ever been in. And he got up and said something about Brother Smith's going to win his whole city to Christ. And, Bay City, Michigan, last Sunday, or Saturday, I checked in at about 6 o'clock at night. And the lady behind the counter, I said, I got some good news for you. Handed her a tract, tell you how to know for sure. If you died today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? She said, I sure would. I took that tract with the Word of God in it and read the Word of God to her, and she bowed her head and received Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The field's wide under her. First person I saw in that city. The next morning, Lady Ewa, EWA is her name, she's Polish, was serving my table, and eggs and bacon and some toast, and delicious, and she was doing a good job, and a fine Polish lady, a little difficult on speech and understanding, but she did understand the gospel. I handed her a tract. I said, Ewa, this will tell you how you can know for sure if you die today you go to heaven. Let me show you. And boy, she sallied right up to me, you know? And she got right next to me. She wanted to know. And in a little while, a few minutes, she received Christ with tears.
Amen.
Amen. I was in my room that afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, and it was late in the afternoon, before church, probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and knock come on the door, room service, room service, room service. And a gal came in, a Spanish lady, and she's cleaning. She needed, you need room service? And I said, sure. And she blocked the door open so it'd be appropriate. And I sat where people could see me from the hallway. Amen. She came in, and I said, if you tidy up the bathroom a little, I'd appreciate it. And she did that and did a good job. I said, I'm sorry about the shampoo that spilled on the tub there. I know it has made it slippery. And she said, let me clean that up. And she did so that I wouldn't fall. She said, you want your bed made? No, I said, that's not necessary. It's all right. I just have to unmake it to get back in it. Amen. Anyway, I didn't say that to her. And she got about done, and I said, hey, got some good news for you. Handed her a tract. Tell you how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? She said, I sure would. And a little while, she received Jesus Christ as Savior with tears. Now, all of those folks gave me their addresses. I said, can the pastor come by and visit with you? They said, sure. You know, another waitress there at the restaurant, you have not because you ask not, folks.
That's
That's what James 4:2 says. If you don't ask if they would like to get saved, I ask a little different. I don't ask just like that. But if you don't ask, you're not going to get. Hello? Another waitress there that morning, she had a little lull there at the cash register, although she's very busy. I said, "You saw me talking to Ewa about Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "I used to go to church all the time, and I'm searching." Woo! Glory to God! She was too busy for me to lead to Christ. I said, "May I have your address and name, and I'll have the pastor stop by?" She said, "Sure." Glory to God. Now, I talked to 1, 2, 3, 4 people and had 4 responses. No door slammed in my face. By the way, if you'll pray for divine appointments, there's no doors between you and the divine appointment. If it's a ball, if it's at work, wherever it might be, there are no doors between you and a divine appointment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, that'll preach. Look for people under conviction wherever you're going. People are under conviction all over the world. The field is wide already into harvest, and including wherever you are. I could give illustrations for the rest of the morning. Now, next, look like a Christian. Take a bath. Did I want to get up this morning? No. Not because I'm not an early riser. I'm an early riser. But I have some pretty bad back pain. And finally, I got up and took a couple of extra strength Tylenol, 650 milligrams, eight hour time release. And I went back to bed, got my Bible, started reading. In about 30 minutes, my back pain just eased up a little bit. I get up and take a shower. But take a shower. Wash your hair. Scrub your teeth. Girls, if you wear a little makeup, put it on. It won't hurt anything. Just don't wear enough to be scraped off with a spoon. Amen. Shine your shoes. Brush your teeth. Dress like you're going to church. Use brush freshener. Put on deodorant. Be decent. Take care of yourself. And if you're overweight, do something about it. Go walk for an hour around the neighborhood. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to join a club. Amen. You don't have to have exercise equipment. Just go for a walk. And let the Lord work on your body. If our president can exercise an hour every day and his wife an hour every day, surely you could think about it. Could you exercise and pray? Good friend of mine, medical doctor, he exercises and prays at the same time. Day's schedule is full. And he asked the Lord, "Can I do that?" And the Lord said, "Sure, go ahead." Yeah. He's 60-something years old. Still exercises. He bounces on a rebounder and rides a bicycle of some kind and stationary bike and whatnot. Just keep yourself in shape. So when you knock on a door, you meet somebody, you don't look like an old blob. Amen. Well, if that's the way Christians look, I don't want to look that way. Now, keep yourself fresh. I stopped at the front desk this morning. I'd already brushed my teeth. I went down and had breakfast. I was running a little late. I didn't have time to go back to my room to get a toothbrush and brush my teeth again. So I said, "Could I buy a toothbrush and toothpaste from you?" And she said, "Sure." She went and got a toothbrush and toothpaste and gave it to me. I said, "What do I owe you?" She said, "Nothing." I like that. Amen. Just like the gospel. It's free too. Amen. Because I went ahead fresh teeth. I went into the restroom there on the first floor at the hotel and brushed my teeth and got my mouth fresh. And before I came today, I wanted to have a fresh mouth. Amen. 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 Look like a Christian. Number next, wherever you are in your notes, carry a New Testament with you. Amen. Carry a New Testament with you. Now, if you want to take a Bible, stick it under your arm and look like an idiot, go ahead. Now, and if you do that here, go ahead, be idiots. But you know what? If I had a gun and I was going to kill somebody, I wouldn't walk up to him with a gun pointed at him. And in the old days, I wouldn't have a sword drawn if I wanted to cut somebody's head off. I'd have it hidden, so I could whip it out and use it when I wanted it. Now, I've never killed anybody. I've wanted to kill some people. My wife especially. But anyway, old laugh, will you? Carry a New Testament with you. And when you get a little money, get one big enough they can read. But carry a New Testament with you. Most people trust you if they can't read it. and underline the verses, and mark the verses, and draw a map in your Bible. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 5:12, 10:9, 10:13, and draw a map. When I was a youngster, about his age maybe, I had a testament about the size, half size of the testament I'm using now. And I put tabs on there. I underlined Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:8, 5:12, 10:9, 13. But I put a tab and marked it number one out of scotch tape on the edge so I could just pull that tab. 3:23. And then I had next to 3:23 written down, the next verse. And then I had tab two. And then tab three. And tab four. So I went tab one, two, three, four. And I was through. Amen? So I did it. And had them underlined. And so people could know where they were, put my finger under the verse. And if you looked in this Bible, a testament of mine, you'll find that the plan of salvation pages are torn and they're dirty. One of them's missing. And I just stuck it in the back here. One of them fell out. I've used it so much. It's led hundreds and 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 hundreds of people to Christ. Amen. Carry a New Testament with you. Better than a whole Bible. And mark your New Testament. Put tabs on it. Underline it. And so on and so forth. Next, ask the Holy Spirit all week for His power in your life. Ask the Lord all week. Ask the Holy Spirit all week for His power in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to go before you, soften hearts and open doors. We've already mentioned that. We talked about Sean Fisher. Now, I knocked doors in a little trailer court for a whole year. I don't expect there were 200 trailers in there, and it took me a whole year to knock all those doors. Why? Because I'd ask the Holy Spirit to go before me, soften hearts and open doors. And so I never got past 3, 4, 5, 6 doors in a whole morning of soul winning on Saturday. Why? Because God had them home. Why? Because I asked God to do that. You have not because you ask not. Amen? He had them home. And I'd knock on their door, and they'd be there. And we put 100 people on a Sunday school bus that we never rode one time in a year's time. Hello? I never rode it. And they got on the bus by themselves. I never went and woke them up. They got up, got on the bus. Why? Because we gave them the gospel. They got saved. They got convicted. They got saved. And they wanted more. When a little baby gets born, he wants more. More, more about Jesus. More, more. And the biggest problem with us losing people is we're not feeding people. The second teaching in the passage we read this morning, Matthew 28, teaching in verse 20, in the Greek is teaching masses, teaching groups of people. The first teaching is one-on-one, soul winning. One-on-one, different Greek word. So if you have the area prepared by the Spirit of God, dear friend, then in fact you're going to have folks saved. Claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The word ask is in the linear in the Greek. Ask and keep on asking 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 and keep on asking. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them? An indefinite third person plural pronoun, which just means any Christian that asks can have it. You ask and He'll give you. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Give is in the linear. Give and keep on giving 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 and keep. You ask and He gives. You ask and He gives. You see, they don't ask just one time. I was on my face before God this morning with my Bible under my face, asking God to go to come into this place and help me, empower me, and fill me, and give me wisdom. Seal my lips where I ought not speak, and open my lips where I ought not speak. Now I know I said some things last night, and maybe you think I shouldn't have said. But that's all right. I said them. Amen. I had freedom to say them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do I have freedom to say them? They're coming out. I told my wife. She went, on the phone last night. She went, you didn't do that. Yes, I did. She, but that's okay. I'm the preacher. She's not. Except she preaches to me. Amen. Acts 5:32. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. Obey in salvation, and obey in separation, and obey in service. There's no need for Holy Spirit fullness if you're not serving. There's no need for Holy Spirit fullness if you're not separated. Because, dear friend, you're not representing the God of glory if you're not living a holy life, separated from the wicked world that we live in. We're to be different. We're to come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Amen? Be you holy, for I'm holy. And we need the Holy Spirit will come on those that ask Him if they live, if they're saved, they live a separated life, and they're out there serving, knocking on doors, filling a van. If that van isn't full when it comes in on Sunday, that's sin. Not maybe not sin of the person that's working that van route, sin because somebody in here else has been convicted to work it, and they're not doing it. Helping him, you see. Hello. I took a bus route in a place called Hegwisch, Illinois, the part of Chicago that's closest to Hammond, Indiana, at just 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes after we filled the bus. And it had we had 12 people the first February morning with 2 inches of snow on the ground. And we were told it could not be done. Nobody had ever done it in Hegwisch as a bus route on its own. And so we started knocking on doors and knocking on doors and knocking on doors. Arabic people. Ever try to win an Arab to Christ? Older Polish people. I mean old-time Polish people. Ever try to win an old-time Polish? I don't mean a modern generation. And so we had Polish and Arabs. Polish and Arabs. Polish and Arabs. Did you know there are people at Hiles Anderson College today in 2006, and that was 20 years ago, who were newborn babes when I had that bus route 20 years ago? Arabs. Going to Hiles Anderson College. Wow. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, we had days of 80 and 100. Within a year, we were running 80 and 100 on good days, and we won the fall or the spring program, whichever it was, I can't recall, and won a trip to Texas to see the roots of Brother Hiles and all of that. And unbelievable what God can do. If you'll ask Him to go before you, soften hearts, open doors, and ask Him to fill you with the Spirit of God, and you get enough folks out there knocking on doors. We probably had half a dozen knocking on doors. And rattle those doors. The field is white already unto harvest. Your field is ripe already. If you're out there knocking doors and they're not getting saved, dear friend, you better get on your knees somewhere, find out what's wrong with you. Yes. Amen. 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 Don't run to McDonald's and get a Coke. Go somewhere, get alone, and say, God, am I okay? Show me. All right, number next. Change partners every 3 to 6 months. Once you're both confident soul winners. Now, if there's two confident soul winners going together, that's sin. You go get somebody else and take them with you and train them. Amen. Amen. There's no need wasting the talent. Now, once in a while, maybe, just to learn something and fellowship, but not very often. You get somebody that doesn't know how. If two fellows are going together and they're confident soul winners, you ought to be taking two teenagers or two other men. If two ladies are going together and they're confident soul winners, you ought to be taking two teenagers or two other ladies, not two other men. Amen. Amen. You can laugh, it's all right. You're going to ruin that songbook, son. I'm sorry. I know your feet are short, but that cost that thing cost a lot of money, $10. Anyway, forgive me. It's the Lord's money. Amen.
Amen.
And you change partners every 3 to 6 months. When your partner it becomes when your partner, not, I don't mean husbands and wives, shut up. Brother Moses, I know what went through your mind. I know what went through your mind. You change partners every three. When your partner becomes confident or fairly confident, then switch. Get somebody else and let them take somebody. The way you build their confidence is you give them, your soul winning partner, all the easy ones. If you're confident, you take the hard ones, give them the easy ones. When I take my wife, I give her all the easy ones. Now, she knows how to lead folks to Christ, been leading folks to Christ for decades, but this is, she's not like her husband. You know, we're opposites, and opposites attract, and it makes a whole. We can't have two nuts in one house. You know, you can only have one nut in one house. And you got to have somebody keep the nut straight and keep it on the bolt. Amen. Number next, give the easy ones to your partner. Number next, go expecting people to be saved. Oh, I I don't feel good today. Surely nobody's going to get saved. Oh, shut up. Make any difference how you feel? You give out the gospel. You get up and you look in the mirror and 10 times you, as loud as you can, say, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! And get your mouth loosened up and get your muscles loosened up and get yourself laughing at yourself. Or if you can't handle Merry Christmas, say, Money! And that'll get you. Amen. Go expecting people to get saved. You know, the photographers have it all wrong. They say, cheese, they'll say, money, and you get a bigger smile. Amen. And I see you ladies smiling, the men are going, anyway. Mark chapter 2, the palsied man. Four soul winners there, and please don't turn there. They go get him on a stretcher. And these soul winners, they take him to where Jesus is. And they can't get through the front door because of the crowd. And they can't get through the windows because of the crowd. They can't get through the back door because of the crowd. They carry that guy up on the roof of the house and tear the roof off of the house. And tear not only the roof off the house, they tear an opening in the ceiling. And there's Jesus, right? They're right above him. And they get some ropes and they tie to each all four corners of the stretcher, and they lower that man right down in front of Jesus. And you know, when Jesus looked up, he said, when he saw their faith, not the man's faith, he saw the faith of the soul winner. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the man was saved and healed at all the same time because of the faith of four soul winners who took enough time to get a palsied man and put him on a roof, tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. When's the last time you spent extra effort getting somebody in? Amen?
Amen.
Man, go get them on a stretcher. Get them in. Amen. Go expecting to be people to be saved. Do you believe your prospect will be saved? Do you believe they can be saved? Give them the gospel. I was out soul winning in that little mobile home park I'd mentioned, a 78-year-old lady from Austria, Catholic. And she was in the yard. I spent an hour with her in the yard. I couldn't get to first base. I said, ma'am, do you have a Bible? She said, yes. I said, may I show you some things in your Bible? She said, yes. And we went in and sat down at her kitchen table. And she got out her big Bible. It looked like a big dictionary of some kind, 12 inches thick, and you know how they are. I took her to Romans 3:10 and laid my Bible next to it. 3:10. I went to her Bible, 3:23. I said, St. Paul said to the Romans, and I read it to her. And I said, St. Paul said to the Romans, and I read it to her. And then in my Bible, in the King James. And then 3:23 and 6:23 and her Bible and my Bible, St. Paul said. And St. Paul this and St. Paul that. That's the way they talk. You know, and on, right on down through the plan of salvation. And a little while, I gave her the plan of salvation. I said, do you believe that according to God's word, if you'd ask him to save you, he'd do it? And she said, yes. And I said, if Jesus would take you just the way you are, forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Now, it's taken me 45 minutes to get there. She said, yes. I bowed my head and thanked God for her and asked God to save her and thank God that he would save her and ask her to pray. She wouldn't pray. And I said, ma'am, let me help you. Just like a little wedding vow, repeating after me, like the people getting married repeat after the preacher, out of your heart, only if you mean it, let's call on Jesus, ask him to save you, forgive your sins, and give you a home in heaven. And I said, dear Jesus, and she wouldn't pray. And I said, dear Jesus, and she wouldn't pray. And she said, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go. Where are you going? She said, I don't know, I gotta go. And I said, ma'am, I said, what's for supper? I'm staying until you get saved. Amen. She said, oh, all right. She received Christ. Now watch this now. Proof of the pudding. 78 years old, Austrian Catholic, standing out front of her mobile home by herself. Nobody knocked on her door. Nobody got her saved. The next morning, got on the Sunday school bus.
Amen.
Do you believe? Do you believe? Sometimes I like to have fun. Just put out a little extra effort. Amen. If they're listening, I'm talking. Hour and 45 minutes. Amen. Oh, do you believe? Number next, be nice. Be courteous. Be kind. Be gentle. Yeah, there's people out there you'd like to kill. But you don't know. Their baby may have just died. You don't know what happened to them. Their husband may have just left them. You don't know. They may, you know, all kinds of things may have happened. They may have just gotten bad news about their sister or their brother or somebody having cancer. You don't know. Be courteous. Be nice. Be gentle. You're still in this town. You can go back again. Hello? Win them to yourself first. I sold men's suits for 4 years. Before I sold suits, I sold what they call furnishings, socks and ties and underwear and all that little stuff. And there was no commission on it. And the manager and the assistant manager sold the suits and the top coats and the sport coats, and they got commission for that. If it was the manager's turn to sell a suit and he couldn't sell it, he gave it to the assistant manager, and they got what was called a TO, a turnover, and they were paid $2.50 for giving it to the assistant manager so that maybe somebody else might sell them. And so the assistant manager couldn't sell them either. They always gave them to me. So I'm the third guy on the totem pole. But do you know what? I'd win those people to Christ. I'd win those people to myself first. And then they'd buy a suit. And my manager would shake his head and the assistant manager would shake his head. They could, they couldn't. They'd been there for years and 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 years. A lot more experience than I had. I was used to selling ties and shirts and underwear. And I'd sell suits. They couldn't sell them. I sold them every time, every time, every time. Well, I'd win them to myself first. And they'd have confidence in me. Oh, I remember Mr. Rizzomini. He was about 4'2" and 300 feet around. But we had to make special pants for him and a special coat for him there. But you know what? Mr. Rizzomini would buy from me. If you win them to yourself first, you know. Win them to yourself first. Be courteous and nice and so on and so forth. I was in a membership. I sold memberships in a buying club for a year and a half in the Chicagoland area. And I'd go into a home. And we'd have preset appointments with the husband and wife in the evening, late afternoon or evening. And we'd sit down at the kitchen table and I'd present the buying club. And if whether they bought the buying club membership or not, I always said, before I go, I'd like to share with you how that you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Most of them allowed me to do that. And do you know I had scores and scores and scores of couples from Chicago come to First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, walk the aisle for Christ in that year and a half that I was selling memberships at a buying club. Why? I'd already been in their home an hour and a half. They knew me. They were comfortable with me. I had won them to myself first. By the way, I became the top seller in that thing. Other people had been in it 30 years, and I sold as much in one day as the man had been in it 30 years. Now, I take no credit. I give all my credit to Jesus Christ. Amen. For the suits, for the buying club membership. I sold Fuller Rush for 6 years, door to door, 200 doors a day. If preachers would knock on 200 doors a day, they'd build churches. 200 doors a day to make a living. Every day, 1,000 doors a week. Now we go back every 30 days, same doors. The territory was Jewish. They didn't tell me no one had ever cracked that territory before. You don't have to, you know, it don't make any difference to me. I've got a God that's possible. Makes it all possible. Amen? Amen. And I don't care if they've never been done before. If you don't tell me, I'll get it done anyway. If you tell me, it'll take me a little longer because I'll worry about it. After a while, it took about 30 days to get used to those people get used to me. And the second time around, they begin to buy. Now, we made a living the first 30 days, but the second time around, they begin to buy. And they begin to loosen up. And the third time around, the fourth time around, knocked the same doors for 6 years, every 30 days. 1,000 doors a week. By the way, I was making $1,000 a week when I left there, working 20 hours a week, spending 20 hours a week on my Sunday school class. Eighth grade teenagers, averaging 239 eighth grade teenagers with 200 baptisms a year. That's a lot of teenagers. Did you know that? Amen. You know, God's blessed. Number next, be complimentary. Be complimentary. Brag on them. Brag on them. Brag on their flowers. Brag on their dog. He's just tearing your hand off. He's a pit bull. Brag on him anyway. Boy, he's the best pit bull I ever saw. brag on their pictures, brag on the neighborhood, brag on the car, brag on the, if there's a baby, you better brag on that baby. Woo, what a pretty baby. Coochie, coochie, coo, can I hold that baby? If you're a lady, if you're a man and you want to hold a baby, you're nuts. But anyway, it's supposed to laugh. Amen. Pet the dog, a little yappy little thing. Oh, what a cute little dog. And you better be interested in what they're interested in.
Amen.
I'd go in those Arabic homes and they'd have pictures all the way down the wall. And I'd go to the last picture and I'd say, because they were in generations, who's this? And they looked like he was from 1702. And they'd tell me that was great, 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 whomever. And who's this? And the next picture, and who's this? And right on up, you know. And after about 30 minutes of that, they think you're interested in their family. And I am interested, but not quite as interested as they think I'm interested. And after a while, they want to offer you tea, and you always take it. Anybody offers you anything, you take it. Cyanide? No, don't do that. But anyway, sit down at the kitchen table. Kitchen table is the best place in the world to lead someone to Christ. You drink tea at the table. And really, if you're in an Arabic home or an Eastern home, they'll go bake something while you're there. And or they'll go next door and get you bread like the guy did in Luke 11. And you know, once you sit at their table and put your feet under their table, you have the covenant of salt, and you become their friend, and they become your friend. And if anything in life, any time in life, even though I've been gone from that bus route 20 years, I can call up those Haddad families. If I had a need, they would come and help me because they created a covenant of salt with me by my putting my feet under their table. 70 Haddad families. Arabic. Won their kids to Christ. Won them to Christ. Took a while. But I befriended them first. Be complimentary. Brag on them. Number next, be a good listener. Listen to their burdens. Listen to their successes. Listen to their sorrows. Listen to their joys. The more you listen to them, the greater chance you'll have that they'll listen to you. If you accept them, they'll accept you. Listen to them. Listen to them. If you don't listen, that's rejection to them. If you don't listen, that's rejection to them. And so, if they want to talk, let them talk. I don't mean they're arguing about the Bible. I don't mean that they're you know how people are. They want to unburden themselves on you. Let them unburden. It's called a catharsis. Once they get unburdened, then there's room inside to take something in.
Amen.
You understand that? Let them unburden themselves. And so be a good listener. If you accept them, there's a whole lot more likelihood that they're going to accept you. I said already, soul winning's best done at the kitchen table. They're more relaxed. Number next, only one do the talking. You can't both talk at one time. One runs defense while the other runs offense. And there's so many things I can say right there.